Hi, everybody. This is Dan and Chris back for our next episode of Father's Love Healing Through Heartache. We want to thank everybody, as always, for taking the time out of your schedule to join us. We know that your time is valuable, and we hope that you find this worthwhile. Chris and I do this podcast so that we can just talk to each other about our grief of losing our sons, Mason and Jameson. We're a big help to each other. And we hope that along the way that somebody listening can get something out of it as well. This week is another super special week. We have a special guest joining us, and I'm going to let Chris introduce him.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Dan. Thanks, guys. Again, thanks for listening to us. We know how precious everyone's time is. And this week is a special week for me because, you know, a couple episodes ago we brought Dan's son, Reese, and I really wanted to bring my son, Ryan, in, and he agreed, give me a hug, and Ryan is a sophomore in high school, and Dan and I thought it'd be important to kind of give the perspective of maybe what an early teen or a teenager goes through when a family goes through such a grief like this. And hopefully this will help some parents with some ideas of what they could do if they're in the early stages of grief or even in the later stages of grief as well, kind of like where we're at right now. So, I'm excited to have Ryan here. I know he's a little nervous, as any teenager would be putting themselves out there like this. So, but Ryan, I have no doubt that you're going to do awesome today, and it'll really help some people out.
Absolutely. Ryan, thanks for joining us, buddy.
No problem.
Ryan, we're going to turn it over to you. Why don't you start, just tell us a little bit about yourself, and just tell us what you want to tell us about your brother Mason and the whole process of what your family went through when he was in the hospital and when he passed, and just share whatever you want to share, man.
Well, I'm Ryan. I'm 15. I was about 13 when Mason passed. And I think probably the most difficult part about losing Mason is just the confusion. It's difficult to understand something like that. So it takes time to really think about it and comprehend. And it doesn't help that it's in that awkward stage of life, so you're still learning things about yourself as you're dealing with the grief. When Mason did first pass, I did like how much my parents were still there to help me and my brothers, even though they were still going through their grief. And I think in a situation like this, I got lucky that I had my parents. Because again, even though they were shocked and just as confused as I was, they were still there. I still had food to eat for dinner. I still had hot water to shower with. I could still play my video games, so that made it a lot easier.
So you think kind of like trying to keep your normal routine at the beginning helped you get through some of the initial shock, or I guess is that how you felt, like the routine really kept you going and kept you, you know, eyes forward instead of, you know, falling back in that sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, Ryan, tell us, if you can, like when Mason passed, how long were you home before you went back to school and got back into a truly normal schedule? At least your parents were doing different things, obviously, but yeah, how long were you out of school, and what was it like when you went back to school? Were you able to focus and work hard? Were you thinking about Mason a lot, or were you, like you said, were you just so confused? School was kind of the same as it was beforehand because you didn't quite know what was going on, or what was going on with you?
So Mason passed kind of during the start of COVID. So we were already doing online school, but I still did some schoolwork on my computer, but the school was thankfully understanding. So I missed maybe 2 weeks of school to just take it in. And then summer break came, so I had 3 months. But school just felt like school. It wasn't anything different. It wasn't more confusing, or it was still just boring, plain old school.
Can you pinpoint, and again, this is really different because you were in COVID. Can you pinpoint anything specifically that your school did or your friends at school did that maybe helped keep your mind off Mason or keep things normal, or anything that specific that they did that maybe helped?
Well, school itself kept me on that routine of waking up and getting things done. And I just played video games with friends, and that helped take my mind off Mason. So.
And it was really hard, obviously, with it being the beginning of COVID, you know, a lot of isolation already, and it didn't help. It definitely didn't help anything because, you know, we couldn't really be around a lot of people anyways. So, you know, any of Ryan's friends from school that he would hang out with, we weren't even allowed to let him go see him anyways to get his mind off of it. I think that would have helped for sure. Do you think that would have helped if you could have hung out with Nick or any of them? Or
yeah, I think playing outside would have helped a lot more, and going and doing things out with friends. But video games, they're not as good, but it's definitely better than being alone.
Yeah, because with Ryan's video games, for those that are listening, he's talking to people all over the country, all his friends, military friends that he's met from all the different bases we've been at. So he's not just going out and playing a game. He's actually interacting virtually with his friends from all over the country. So,
Ryan, I think it's awesome that one of the first things you said was complimenting your parents about how they stuck with you. And it's super impressive for me, and I imagine other people listening, to hear a kid just recognize that you all are going through something so serious and so awful, and you didn't hold it against your parents the way they were acting, because kids get a bad rap. And so I'm glad you started with that. I imagine that your dad just got hit with some real good feelings, and I imagine your mom's about to when she watches this too. So that's awesome, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot to me. Obviously, in the beginning stages of grief, the first couple of days, everything is such a blur, and the sadness is so intense that it can be hard to take care of your other kids that need you just as much as the child that you lost. So, you know, we think we did okay, but at the same sense, it's all such a blur now. I don't know what I was doing half the time. I know I was, you know, crying most of the time, but also trying to still be the dad. And, you know, my wife was still trying to be the mom that the best we possibly could in the extreme moments. So it did feel good. Thanks, Fred.
So Ryan, I don't know if you can explain more about this or not. You said something that I think is absolutely huge, that you were confused when Mason passed away, which is an absolutely normal feeling. And you, but you also acknowledge that you're, this is during an awkward stage for all kids. Are you able to tell everybody a little more about how you dealt with those two things of just being a kid in today's world, being a middle school kid at the time, right? Trying to find yourself and your own path, having COVID shut everything down, and then on top of all of that, losing your brother. Are you able to talk any more about that and how you felt and how you dealt with that, all of that going on?
When it came to understanding my feelings, I guess it just came a lot to either talking to my parents or sitting down and just thinking about it. But with COVID and all of that, I guess for me, I like to stay home. So it was somewhat easier than a lot of people think it would be. But not having, you know, those extra activities that you go out and do, go to a water park or go bowling, things to get your mind off it, I guess, made it somewhat more difficult to not understand, but I guess internally feel okay. Just feel like, yeah, the situation sucks, but right now I'm okay.
Bring a sense of normalcy to that moment, even though, you know, you're going through all the sadness and grief with us, that moment to take you away from everything. Yeah, I do think, you know, piggybacking off of Ryan, that was something that him and his brothers lost because of COVID and because of the lockdown. You know, and especially too, a lot of people don't realize something that we do that most grieving families don't do right away is move. We moved within 3 months of losing Mason to a whole nother state. And that brings a whole nother extra dynamic to kids that I think Ryan rose to the challenge, but there's no doubt that it was an extra difficulty thrown in the mix at the time. So,
yeah, Ryan, did the move affect, did it change anything for the better or worse with in regards to your grief?
It didn't really change anything. It kind of made it more difficult because now I'm at a new school. Yeah. And I've got to make new friends. I've got to find where I fit in.
And that's still even kind of difficult today, right? I mean, we're still to this day, you know, I think all of us in our family here, Delaware served its purpose, but I don't think any of us in our family feel like Delaware is home and that we're going to stay here forever, if that makes sense. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I kind of think as Delaware, it's like a hotel almost. It's not my final destination, but it'll help me get there.
You've mentioned a couple, you just talked again about your parents a few minutes ago of they just kind of let you do your thing, let you play your video games and all that. What, I talked to I think she was 15 years old a few months ago, and that she had just lost her uncle, which is nothing close to a brother, but it's still a loss. And when her mom had walked away, one of the things she told me is that she thinks her mom thinks that she's selfish because she's not grieving the right way. I've heard you say, if I understand you correctly, a couple times that you feel like your parents have done pretty well and have been there for you. What do you think it is about your parents or the way they raised you that makes you feel so good about the way that they're coping with their own grief of losing Mason and helping you and your other two brothers walk along the process?
Well, I know my mom can relate to me in this situation, and she was a very big part in helping me find my way and how to handle this, but also helping my dad understand some of these things. And my dad was also very understanding, because even though he was sad, he was still there. He still listened. He let me do things I wanted to do. So I think just having that, having the understanding and them letting me, you know, them still being there, but letting me find my way at the same time was extremely helpful.
Yeah, I mean, we Amanda and I, we tried our best in terms of, you know, we don't want to, it's really easy as a parent, I think, and maybe Dan, you can attest to, you start making every decision for your kids, no matter what. And in a time of grief, you tend to cling harder to your other children to make sure nothing happens to them. And I would say, you know, Ryan might not admit it, but I would say at the beginning, that's kind of how I was. I was really starting to cling harder and make more decisions for them. And then, like you said, how Amanda was recognizing it. And, you know, we had a good discussion, and we had discussions with Ryan, not just one. We had numerous discussions with Ryan, at least laying out our standards or our expectations, but also letting him start that process of growing up as an adult, making those important decisions that he had to make on his own, whether I agree with them or not. There's some things that Ryan decided he did or didn't want to do that I didn't agree with. But you know what? He's at an age where those types of things that he decided on were his decision. They weren't mine. So as a parent, you know, I'd voice my opinion on it. But at the same sense, you know, letting Ryan make those decisions, I think, help him through the grieving process as well, because he started to come into his own as a young man and make those decisions, which is important. So,
yeah, Ryan, I think you just said one of the probably the most important things is that, if I heard you right, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but your parents let you kind of grieve your own way, and they were there for you when you needed them. They were both different, and you could go to your mom for different things than you can go to your dad for, but they both let you live your life to a certain extent. And that really helped you out. Did I understand that correctly? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So, I think.
Now, do you feel like when we were trying to push you in certain directions, let's say whether it be sports or clubs or this or that, it was a negative, or could you see where we were coming from and why we were pushing you that way to at least try it? Or how did you feel about all that time? Because it was in the mix of all the chaos and the grief and whatnot.
In the moment, I saw it as a negative because it felt pushy. But when I think about it now, I more see it as like you guys trying to put me in like a normal routine, normal life. Yeah. Something to, you know, distract me and help me move along.
Yeah. And you make great strides. I mean, especially, you know, military kids are very used to moving. Ryan is my oldest son, and he has been alive the majority of my career, you know, 75% of my career. So Ryan has moved a lot. So he's very accustomed to going to new places and meeting new people, meeting new kids. But I would say that Delaware brought a new challenge in terms of where we live and the type of school he went to. Now, he's always gone to a public school, but he's always gone to a public school with other military kids. And now we live a little bit away from the base. I would say there's not very many military kids at the school he's at now, which brought some unique challenges. But we still tried to push him to do a couple things, hopefully to meet some friends. And, you know, what some things have worked, some things haven't worked. And I think that's part of the growing process as an adult anyways, is finding what works and what doesn't. And Ryan's done a great job with that overall.
Ryan, you just said a minute ago that at the time you thought it was pushy, but now looking back at it, you see that your parents were just trying to help you. Can you are you able to give any advice to either kids your age or to other parents of, is there a way that when you look back that you think your parents could have pushed differently where, and it was still effective, but maybe a little more understanding or helpful to you as a kid? Or do you think they did what they had to do and there's no other way they could have?
I think they did what they had to do and to the best of their ability, especially during such a time when everything's locked down and it's hard to get out. And I think for parents and kids, both can, you need to understand what the other person's going through, especially for someone who's going through change from a child to a teenager. Feelings can be confusing. So I think it's best if the parent understands the kid and the kid can understand the parent, or at least see where they're coming from, things can be a lot more easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan explains it very well. I struggled with that a lot of times. I think, I don't know if it's because of the military in me or what, but I was definitely always the more pushy one, saying, go do this, go do that. And sometimes my wife would agree, and other times she would say, hey, you need to back off and let him do this himself. So all of those open communication lines play such an important role, you know. And, you know, when my wife said, hey, you're pushing too hard, I would definitely take her advice and stop the pushing as hard as I did. But if my wife would agree with me and be like, hey, yeah, we need to get him into this or trying that, just get him out of his comfort zone a little bit, you know, we would work together as a team to get Ryan into a, you know, a different thing. I'll take soccer, for example. Ryan's played soccer his whole life. Basically, since he could start running, he was playing soccer. And, you know, COVID threw a monkey wrench in that. And then coming here to Delaware, Ryan's whole first year was online learning. So he didn't meet a single kid his whole first year. You know, we were the only house on our street that was being built. So there's no kids on our street. He doesn't know any of the kids in his school. So when he went to high school, my wife and I really thought it was important for him to at least try to get back into soccer. And he did. And he did really hard, or he worked really hard, and he did. He had a great season. And I think he learned a lot from it, both positives and negatives of both the school, the kids, and just life in general. And, you know, that's an example, basically, of we had to work together with some communication. But then this year he communicated, hey, I want to take a break from soccer. It's not like what it used to be. We didn't push with it. Okay, we understand. At least he tried before. We know he put an effort in. And that communication works in that way.
That's awesome. So, Ryan, I have I want to hear a story from you. I don't know if it has any connection to your grief and your processing or not, or if it's just going to be a fun, cool story to share. But 2 months ago, maybe, you woke up pretty early on a Saturday morning and made a drive, right?
Yeah.
Tell everybody listening, like, where you went, why you did it, what time you got up, how long it took. Just tell everybody the whole story.
So I watched this YouTuber, Mr. Beast. I've been watching him since I've been about 8. So I've watched him for a while. And I was watching one of his videos, and he mentioned that he was opening his first restaurant in New Jersey at the American Mall. And I jokingly told my mom about it and how I'd like to go, and she told my dad, and my dad ended up actually agreeing to take me. So we woke up at 3, and we got there about 6, and we got in line, and we waited about till about 11 when the restaurant actually opened, and then we waited another 4 hours to actually get there. But we met a couple of YouTubers along the way. about four, which doesn't seem like a lot, but they're all have at least a million something subscribers. So I think it's probably the coolest spur of the moment quick decision we've made, and definitely worth the wait. So
yeah, that's super cool that it happened. Just because I thought it was a cool part of the story. Did you meet Mr. Beast because you waited in line? Or did you meet him a different time?
I guess both. Because we waited in the line and we met some YouTubers. Then we got our food. And then we were going to get a hoodie from the merch booth. And Mr. Beast was just over there taking photos with people. So we went and got in line. And then we got a photo with him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great day. It was a hard day, I will say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what kind of always kept popping in my head is, you know, one of Jameson Joy's sayings, just say yes. You know, like, it's something Ryan really wanted. And I knew it would be hard. I don't think it was going to be as hard as it was. We did leave at 3 a.m. We got there at 6. We got right in line, and we actually didn't see Mr. Beast till it was 6 or 6:30. It was a full about 12 hours of waiting in line. You know, and we had our little guy Carson with us. Shouldn't have done it, but he really wanted to come.
Yeah.
Really rough. He did pretty good for, you know, a 6-year-old hanging out for 12 hours in a line, but it was a great experience. Got to meet Mr. Beast. Ryan met some other really cool YouTubers that were pretty funny when I looked up their videos, and I think it was a good day overall.
Yeah. Ryan, what time did you start to get a sense that your dad and your brother Carson were tired and ready to go home and not really having fun anymore?
Probably 3 when we all woke up.
So right away, you knew right away they didn't really want to go, but they were going for you?
Well, I knew they were willing to go and that they wanted to go, but they were definitely exhausted. Carson fell asleep right away on the car drive.
Yeah, we were in the car for 30 seconds and he was already asleep on the drive home. So, you know, because then we drove, I think we left around 7 or 7:30, so we got home around 10 o'clock at night. It was definitely a long day. But you know what, for the memories, it was worth it. And we have a good memory of something I think we'll probably always both remember. And there were some ups and downs that day for sure, whether it be the line, the crowd.
No chairs.
You know, I think the hard part is when we read the instructions, it said do not bring lawn chairs or anything like that. So we followed the rules. And then everybody else brought lawn chairs and we were sitting on the floor and we're like, this is the dumbest mistake ever. So other than that, it was a fun day for sure.
So Ryan, do you, were you able to realize during the moment or shortly after, the sacrifice that your parents made so that you could have that happen? And what'd that mean to you?
It meant a lot to me. It really showed me that my dad does care about what I like and what I want to do. And, you know, I know his weekends are precious because he goes to work all day and then he comes home and he'll cook or he'll clean or both. And so to give up his Saturday was, you know, to some people it's not that big, but to me it was like he gave me a gold bar. It's pretty, to me it's important.
I think that's absolutely enormous for parents to hear that, because your dad and I have talked about it numerous times. It's hard to grieve the loss of our son, but still be involved in our other children's lives. And it's not that we don't love you at all as much as we love the other kid or any of it. It's just, it's hard to go through our emotions, and still be there involved in your lives. So I know when I heard what you guys were doing, it really it made me thrilled for all of you, and I know that your dad does love you very much, and I'm glad that you recognize this moment as one of the ones where he was able to just give up everything for something that, yeah, we old people think it's kind of silly, but it's important to you, so it's important to us.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it now, Dan, like, what was your favorite show as a TV kid, you know? Or what was your favorite TV show as a kid, you know? Like, I have mine, I'm sure you have yours. They don't, kids today, like Ryan and, you know, my other boys, they don't have favorite TV shows. They have favorite YouTube channels, favorite YouTube people, stuff like that. That's what's important to them. So recognizing those things that are important and making the adjustment. Maybe we're just a little bit less old.
Yeah. So Ryan, tell us about your brother Mason. Like, what'd you love about him? What do you miss most about him or your relationship?
He was very energetic. He was always doing something. He loved sports and video games. Him and I were, I feel just alike in a lot of ways. We played the same sports, which is almost every sport. I taught him a lot of things about video games. He looked up to me and I did my best to be there. I miss probably playing outside with him the most, because we always did something crazy, whether it was manhunt in the pitch black outside or it was just playing catch with the football. We were always doing something outside.
Awesome. And do you have any other advice to parents who are going through the same thing that our families are going through of things that they need to keep in mind when staying connected and helping their children through the grief process?
Yeah, that we see things a lot differently than adults do, because adults have more experience in a lot of things. They see the world differently. So, you know, as a 13-year-old or 14-year-old, I saw a lot of decisions that we made, like moving. I saw that a lot differently than my parents did. I was somewhat for the move and somewhat not for the move. I wanted to stay more in Idaho now that I think about it, but it was also, you know, now that we have moved here, it's made it a lot easier being so close to New York. So I think listen and understand, put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What about topic we didn't talk about too much, but you know, our whole family goes to therapy. How do you think that's gone for you? Do you like it? Do you recommend it? If there's any kids listening, or, and you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to either, of course, there's no pressure here.
I like therapy. I think I'm glad I'm in therapy. It's definitely better than a lot of the other solutions I've seen kids here at my school take, like drugs or vaping. It's definitely a lot better. And it's better than putting your emotions out on the internet in the wrong ways. So I think therapy was an amazing choice that we all made.
Yeah, and it's important too to, like, you know, like your therapist, right? Like, so if Ryan didn't feel comfortable with our family therapist, then, you know, he would tell us and we would find someone else for him. Though luckily we all really gelled with our therapist really well. And sometimes we went as a family and sometimes we went individually, you know, and now we go more individually, but it's good because, you know, if I go to therapy and I say, well, here's, well, you know, I'm trying to help Ryan with this, and then my therapist can be like, well, you haven't looked at it from Ryan's point of view. Here's what Ryan's kind of thinking. Look at it like that. And it's made a difference, I think, in our healing process overall. So, yeah, definitely for those parents that are looking for something, you know, if your teenager is afraid to go, they might not admit that they're actually afraid to go at first. So try a couple group sessions together so that way, you know, your teenager can get comfortable with the therapist and then gradually start working your way to where your teenager or your kids can go individually. Because if you always go as a group, there's always one person that's going to take charge of the group and just talk the whole time. And in our group, that's usually me. So it's
you
best
with that,
to...
Ryan?
Yeah.
Because everybody else just does blank stares, staring at them. I'm like, well, I guess someone's going to talk, I'll talk. So, you know, did that kind of help with getting used to Ken before you started going to him by yourself?
Yeah, it made me, I guess, just trust him more.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, Ryan, this show's geared toward parents. But it's really easy for everybody listening to go grab their kids. Can you say anything to the other kids who are going through the grieving process of losing their brother or sister? Anything that you can encourage them or things that you've realized that can help, that you want to share that might help them?
Definitely give your parents the benefit of the doubt. Because take what you're going through and apply that to them, plus the stresses of adult life. And that's not me saying, like, don't talk to your parents because they're set too. But if they make a decision you don't agree with, just trust the process.
We try our best as parents. I think all parents always try their best to make the best decision for their kids and for the whole family in such a difficult time. So lots of open communication. I think when Mason first passed, we had a lot of family meetings together, you know, where we were together talking about difficult situations and how we were gonna really start a new family, because that's kind of what it came down to. It feels like you're starting a whole new life. You're changing everything. You lost an important piece of the puzzle for our family. And, you know, figuring out how you're going to keep going, there's going to have to be adjustments no matter what you think. So everyone has to be, you know, flexible with that and willing to make changes. And changes aren't easy. Change is hard. Losing a child is hard. And then the changes that come with it are just as hard. So, you know, figuring that out together instead of individually really makes a big difference.
Yeah. Man. Ryan, anything else you want to share?
No.
Chris, you got anything else you want to talk to your boy about?
No, I mean, I'm really proud of him. This is not easy for any teenager to come on and spill their feelings and emotions, but we really preach that in our house that if no one knows, we can't help solve the problems. So we're really trying our best. You know, we're not perfect at it by any means, and we're still learning and growing from it. But I would encourage families out there, you know, parents, if you're going through any type of grief and you don't know where to start, you know, Ryan has brought up some really good ideas for our family, too. I have to admit that there's been times where, you know, Ryan has brought up things to get us all back into some sort of routine, whether it's, hey, let's go fishing, let's go bowling, let's go do this, and it's not going to be joyous at first. You know, I think the first time we all went bowling, I don't know if Ryan remembers it or not, but it was hard because bowling was a thing we all did as a family all the time. So the first time we went and we couldn't put Mason's name down on the scoreboard, it was hard. Or fishing or playing soccer, but I don't know if Ryan could attest, but as we started doing it more and more, we got into that rhythm of healing, really. And it's not so hard to do those things anymore. It's still hard, but it's not as hard. What do you think, Ryan?
That's Yeah, I think it's easier as time goes on. And I think some people will take, you know, getting used to not putting down their child's name or, you know, doing certain things as like forgetting their child or the person they've lost, but it's not forgetting, because you'll still always remember them in your head and in your heart. I think it's more of a something to help you remember them, because clearly if you're sad while you're going bowling with your family, then you remember the person you're most sad about, that you miss the most.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Ryan, I have another question. This obviously pertains to our story a little bit more than maybe some other stories, but when Mason was sick and in the hospital, and at the very end when we brought you guys up to pretty much say goodbye to him, are you glad you had that opportunity? Do you feel like we forced it on you, or would you have wanted things to have gone a little differently at all if you had that opportunity to change it?
I'm glad I did have the moment to say goodbye and, you know, see the conditions of Mason and what my parents had been going through, staying in the hospital for the week previously. I don't think it was forced on me. I think it was probably the best decision to make. And, you know, before going to the hospital, I kind of silently in my head knew what I think I was about to experience, but luckily my parents kind of, even though we were all sad, they still had that, I don't know how to explain it, I guess that stride to just keep moving forward no matter what, because I think if we wouldn't have done that, then we'd probably be in a lot worse state. So yeah, I'm glad you guys made the decisions you did.
Got any other questions, Dan? I don't.
No. Ryan, it's a truly an honor to meet you. I've heard a zillion things about you. It's an honor to meet you, buddy. And I hear you. Being a middle school teacher, I hear you about just kids feeling awkward and confused about just life in general. But yeah, then you throw in there your move across the country and you losing your brother and COVID. You are one brave young man, and I'm super proud of you, and I'm super thrilled that you came on here and shared your heart with us. I imagine there's a lot of parents out there right now just kind of saying, whoa, I got some good tips from a little kid. And kids aren't supposed to be that smart, right? So thanks for coming on, buddy. We know it's not easy. But
yeah, I gotta piggyback on that and say that I am extremely proud of Ryan. He's a very tough kid. He works hard, and he was put in an almost impossible situation, a perfect storm per se, between COVID, moving, and losing his brother as a 13-year-old boy, and basically losing his entire life as he knew it to start something new. And he rose to the challenge, and he's going to be an amazing young man. He already is an amazing young man, and he's going to keep growing and do amazing things in this world, and I'm extremely proud of him, and I can't tell him much how much I love him. So I'm proud of you, bud. Thank you for coming on.
So, all right. So with that, guys, as always, if you have any questions, you can email Chris or myself or contact us through Facebook. If you want to share your story, reach out to us. We love having people on here because, yeah, grief is an individual thing. So just reach out, and we'd be glad to talk with you. And with that, we'll see you next time on A Father's Love, Healing Through Heartache.